welcome to Blog Talk Radio's The Candid Frank Live Show, brought to you by Argo Lifers and streamed by our new group in Edmonton, Rouge Radio. Yes, we are starting to collect groups of podcasters, and we're more than glad to do that. We also have some people on our Blog Talk Radio chat room. This is going to be a fun night, let me tell you. We have a very special guest, former Grey Cup MVP. Yes, former Grey Cup MVP, Avon Colburn. Yes. What a player. Played for the Montreal Alouettes. And, of course, we all know how successful the Montreal Alouettes are. And he was a part of that success, and he brought his successful approach to the game as a great running back to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He's going to talk to us about being released, and we're going to get an inside look on what it's like to be on the outside looking in. Now, tonight's show, let's start with what's been going on in football. This is a show about football, and in football in Waterloo, they have removed the interim tag on Joe Pau-Pau. Yes, that's right. Joe Pau-Pau, the former CFL quarterback, has officially been named the head coach of the Waterloo Warriors, replacing Dennis McPhee. Yes, Pau-Pau has coached in the CFL in Edmonton, British Columbia, Winnipeg, and he even coached the Ottawa Renegades from 2001 to 2005. So he would be able to tell us firsthand, once we get him on the show, how hard is it to make a franchise of football make it in Ottawa? We could find out from him. We'll have to call him. Now, we'll remind you again, the Vanier Cup date has been announced. It will be happening. Last year, at the Rogers Centre, Laval defeated McMaster 37-14. Will McMaster get the revenge? Well, it all depends, because the 49th Vanier Cup in 2013 will be played on November 23rd in that same year, 2013. It should be an awesome day. I know my buddy John Granger loves the Vanier Cup. And it has been, this year was incredible. I think they had 35,000 screaming. You know what? They had 37, in fact, because I just saw the number on the screen. They had a Vanier record crowd of 37,098 people. And if John had been able to make it, but unfortunately couldn't because of his dedicated approach to the Grey Cup, and he had to help with the Grey Cup, he volunteered those two more, we could have been up to 37,100. But because of you, John, it's 37,098. But we won't hold that against you. The Ottawa Gigis have named Jamie Baresi as the head coach and program manager for the Gigis football program this year. The Ottawa alumnus brings a wealth of coaching experience at the NCAA and CFL levels in combination with an extensive academic background, which makes him a unique commodity in CIS football. We all know, education is paramount in our football program. I don't think we'll ever have problems like they've had at Penn State and other colleges as far as not bringing people in the right way. The Ottawa Gigis, of course, hired this Hamilton native, and he began his coaching career as part of the 1981 to 83 coaching staff at the Ottawa Gigis, so they know what they're getting. Let's move over to Waterloo, Ontario, and of course the Wilfrid Laurier Department of Athletics announced the appointment of Michael Foles as the new manager of football operations and head coach of the Golden Hawks, effective immediately. That is correct. This guy coached the York Lions, and he was selected out of a pool of 25 applicants, and now he becomes the sixth head coach in the 52-year history of the Golden Hawks football program. Let's move over now to the pros in the Canadian Football League. Hey, guess what? No, never mind. Still waiting. Did I tell you I'm still waiting? Well, John promises that he's going to give us some information on the CFL schedule. Will it be released? Oh, my goodness, the excitement. It's almost more exciting than trying to find out who's going to win the Grey Cup. I got an envelope on my head. The schedule will be released when John tells us. Okay, we'll wait for John to tell us that one. The British Columbia Lions. Solomon Aluminium is staying in the CFL. This linebacker, boy, British Columbia is very happy to have this guy stick around. He decided not to take up any more time with the Cleveland Browns. He decided he would stay in the CFL. He felt the offer that he received with the CFL's BC Lions was more solid, and he appreciated it a little more, and he figured it had a little more long-term on it, right? Now, for those of you that are in the chat room, you can type in that screen, let us know who you are. You can even tell us your phone number, and I'll give you a call during one of the breaks, and we can have you on. So you're more than welcome to chat in a chat box. When you log in, you can log into the show and then log into the chat box. And, of course, when you reach our soundboard or our window, you just have to click Skype, and you can Skype in on the program. The sound is awesome. We really like it. And otherwise, what you can do, the other way you can do it is you've got Facebook. You can Facebook message me. Put your phone number in there, and I'll give you a call, and I promise I'll erase it, and I won't remember it. No, I don't hear anybody laughing, so I guess they believe me. All right. So, also with the British Columbia Lions, lineman Jovan Olafie also decided to stay with the Lions, and he has closed the book on the Green Bay Packers, two pretty good teams in the NFL, rejected because of the CFL and the BC Lions. The Calgary Stampeders, who have been quiet throughout this offseason, have finally decided to make a move. And what's that move? Well, 27-year-old import offensive lineman from Greensboro, North Carolina, Stanley Bryant, has been brought into the fold. He played 13 regular season contests, and now the Stamps have avoided free agency, and he's coming back to the team. So this offensive line that they have is now going back to the way it was last year. And remember, they made it to the Grey Cup. Now, our friends in Edmonton, Odell Willis signed a deal with the Edmonton Eskimos, so he's staying with them. Also, they also signed Chris Rawakawamba, and he's the second former Hamilton Tiger Cat defensive back to join the team since the opening of free agency. Also, ex-Tiger Cat Marcel Young, a former All-Star defensive end, joined the Eskimos as well, along with offensive lineman Alexander Krosnick, and, as I mentioned, Marcel Young. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Well, Corey Sheets, what a running back. This guy is awesome. I'm telling you, he would look good, and whoever you're rooting for, you'd like him in your backfield. I know John's probably cringing right now because, you know, he likes Kackert. But Corey Sheets, and he likes... Well, never mind. Corey Sheets is the real deal. Saskatchewan has a real player. Now, he's starting to make noises about, you know, he wants to be the best running back in the CFL. You know, he wants to have one of his best seasons ever. Maybe even the best season running backs ever had in the CFL. You know, in fact, he has said specifically, quoting Corey, "If you follow me on Twitter, you know I have already dubbed this season Mission 2K. Anytime I'm working out, that is what I'm aiming for. Mission 2K. He's a really good player. We're really happy for his exuberance. Only one thing, buddy, Mr. Sheets, try to tone it down a little bit because you really don't want to, you know, these are the kinds of comments that end up on a chalkboard in a dressing room, if you understand what I'm saying. If you feel me. The Canadian Red Cross, congratulations to Saskatchewan. We know Pinball Clemens does this stuff here. We're big on not bullying, and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have entered into an association with the Canadian Red Cross, and they are teaming up against bullying. Through this agreement they signed this past week, the Rough Riders formally joined the Red Cross in working to create safe and respectful school environments in Saskatchewan. Good for them. The Rough Riders signed import defensive back Dwight Anderson from Montreal. They also re-signed Tyron Breckenridge. The Green Riders also followed up their signings on Friday with three more on Saturday, inking free agents Weldon Brown, welcoming back Jordan Sisko, and of course, Tristan Black, whom we called, if you followed us on our last show, we called Tristan Black on the air. And you know, he answered the phone, he knew it was me, and then he hesitated, and I could tell the hesitation told me he might hang up. And John and I were sitting there. That was us quivering. Is he going to hang up? Because we're going to have a bunch of dead air. We can't have him hang up. No, don't hang up. Tristan, please don't hang up. That's what we were thinking in our heads. And guess what Tristan did? He said, just kidding. I was going to talk to you guys anytime. So we had a nice conversation with Tristan. Tristan has moved on to Saskatchewan. He's now in the West Coast, the Western Division, West Coast, Western Division. And also playing for the home team for the Grey Cup. Well, they won't necessarily be the home team for the Grey Cup, but it's the home city for the Grey Cup, Frank. Be accurate. But, you know, Saskatchewan, they're making all kinds of moves. And thank you, Rouge Radio, for your comment. Reminding you that we've got Rouge Radio, and Jason Sperling is another assistance in helping us to promote the game of the Canadian Football League. Let's take a short break. And we'll start with calling to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down. Come on, be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it!
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Argos! Argos! Apparently, Blog Talk Radio and the Skype button isn't working the way it's supposed to. Just so you know. You can also, in that chat room, you can type in your phone number, and I'll give you a call, okay? If you can't Skype in, don't worry. Please don't worry. Let's try to make this work. One thing John Granger and Frank Stanishi have learned about being on Blog Talk Radio is that patience is a virtue and a requirement. Right, John? I can hear him. He's saying right. I can hear him through the microphone. It's not even on, and I can hear him. Well, let me tell you. Let's continue, and now we go to the Eastern Conference of the CFL, and it with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have announced that it has re-signed CFL All-Star defensive tackle Brian Turner. Prior to Turner becoming a free agent on February 15th, the Bombers also signed import free agent defensive back Couch Muamba, the brother of linebacker Henock, to an undisclosed contract and drafted, of course, by BC 34th overall. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers also announced that they have signed non-import free agent offensive lineman Mark DeWitt. As per team policy, of course, they don't announce the signings and for what they're worth. I don't understand that, but that's okay. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers also have announced that they have re-signed Clarence Denmark, agreeing to terms prior to free agency. And, of course, once again, amounts and term not disclosed. Let's go on to the team that... I'm starting to think that the Ticats are really trying to surprise everybody. They've made some awesome moves. They continue to prove their defense, their weakest, obviously, part of their game, by bringing in free agent import linebacker Marcellus Brown. Last season, the 6'3", 228-pound Boston College product made a career-high 52 tackles and 2 sacks. They also brought in import defensive back Nick Graham and import offensive lineman Nick Hennessy. Hennessy has been released. Oopsies. Hamilton Tigercats re-signed former Rough Riders linebacker Shamari Williams, who was selected first overall by Saskatchewan in 2010. He played both defensive end and linebacker in his 3 years in Saskatchewan. The Ticats then signed defensive tackle Brian Bulkel, who played for Calgary Stampeders last year. Now, the busy Stripes nabbed former Toronto Argonauts defensive back Evan McCullough. And, us Argo fans felt that loss. But then again, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of players available. Now, they also announced that they released running back Avon Colburn on Saturday. And now it's the second straight offseason that Avon has been released by the Hamilton Tigercats. Colburn was the team's leading rusher last season with 737 yards on the ground, mainly sharing time with rookie Siobhan Walker. In his 2 seasons with the Ticats, Colburn ran for 1,698 yards and 10 touchdowns. Now, they'd like to thank, of course, Hamilton, very happy with Avon did, and for him being a professional and also a very successful running back in the Canadian Football League. They were being very nice in their press release to him, maybe because they're planning on bringing him back again if they need him. Well, you know what they say, don't burn your bridges. Now, he happens to also be our guest tonight. But before we get to our guest, let's get to the Montreal Alouettes. Now, Anthony Calvillo, how would you like to be him? What is it? He's been with the team since 1998, and he's had like 8 head coaches. And you know, he is the most agreeable quarterback I've ever seen on any football team. I mean, this guy does not complain. He's a workhorse. He does what he needs to do to be the best quarterback for his team that he can be. Now, his biggest thing with the new coach, of course, we all know they signed a new coach. His big thing with the head coach is he wants to see how he handles the press and how he handles the dressing room. Now, both those places are very important, needless to say. But one thing's for sure, when Calvillo says, "I'm ready to learn," he's telling it like it is. This is a guy who will consume the playbook. He will discuss the playbook, and he will act out the playbook that the head coach and he, and for that matter, the players can pursue. So he's a golden guy. This guy's. When the Montreal Alouettes come to Toronto, and I watch him play, I know I'm watching a Hall of Famer, and I know I'm watching one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time anywhere. So we wish him luck to have a 2-year contract. I hope he has a couple of really good years. And as we said to Tristan last week, I hope he has his best games against the Argos, long as he loses. The Alouettes signed defensive back Gerald Brown and linebacker Steve Octavian. Both import players have inked 2-year deals with the club. Former Ticat defensive back Jeff Tisdale signed a 2-year deal with the Owls. Now, the man that got, I'll tell you, Dan Hawkins. Now, I've done a little homework on this guy. ESPN television, he's an announcer. Obviously, he understands the game. ESPN's not small potatoes. You know, it's not like Blog Talk Radio. They're very, very, very professional, much more professional than we are. But more importantly, he was their expert. So in hiring Dan Hawkins, we know that Jim Popp, once again, has made a decision based on what he sees and feels is the coach's next step. Remember this. The last coach wasn't exactly touted as he had no experience. Now he's coaching the Bears. He didn't have any head coaching experience. Now he's coaching the Bears. Came to the Alouettes, didn't master the French language, won a couple of Grey Cups, and he's coaching the Bears. So needless to say, Jim Popp knows what he's doing. Now, Dan Hawkins est un homme que sincèrement fera une tentative de s'assurer que les personnes de la langue française
du Québec, croyant qu'il a sincèrement l'intention de communiquer avec O en français. That is what he did, and please don't hate him for trying. He tried to speak in French. Tough situation. You're the head coach of the Montreal Alouettes. Your first language is not French. I don't even think his second language is French. But you have to admire his attempt to help the people of Quebec that love the Montreal Alouettes and Canadian football, that he respects who they are enough to give it a try. So hopefully people won't resent the fact that he tried to speak French. I admire the guy, and this is great for Canadian football. After all, we're a bilingual country. And never mind all the other stuff, guys. We know that sometimes we have differences, but let's forget the differences and remember the one thing we all have in common. We love the Canadian Football League. Now, he brought in, holy moly. Jim Popp is amazing. He and Coach Hawkins have already determined their staff. They had a picture of them all together. Mike Miller, assistant head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach. Noel Thorpe, defensive coordinator. Ray Richelski, special teams coordinator. Doug Barry, senior advisor to the head coach. Jean-Marc Edme, defensive assistant, football operations assistant. Frank Verducci, offensive line coach. Mark Speckman, running backs coach. Eric Campbell, wide receivers coach. Keith Willis, defensive line coach. Mark Nelson, linebackers coach. And former CFL quarterback Ryan Dinwiddie, offensive quality control coach. Offensive quality control coach? Well, Jim Popp was busy. The Alouettes re-signed Seth Williams, Canadian fullback Daron Diedrich, and defensive tackle Moton Hopkins before they became free agents. They also released Gerald Brown and then decided to sign him a day later. They also signed linebacker Steve Octavian to a two-year deal. One day after releasing Montreal Alouettes, general manager Jim Popp brought defensive back Gerald Brown back into the fold. The Alouettes also announced signing, as I said, Steve Octavian. Now, we'll take another short break, and we'll come back with the team that John loves. What team would that be? I have no idea. What team could that possibly be? I just don't know. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on, be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with?
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
That's right, the Toronto Argos. Now we're trying to get through to Avon Colburn. And once again, it doesn't like what we're doing. It really doesn't. That's just sad. It truly is. The sadness I feel is deep. We'll try it again. Well, let's try it a different way. What do you think? How do you like them apples?
Let's try it again. Here we go. Come on, baby. You can do it. You can do it. Call failed again. Well, that's just not nice. I'm just not liking that at all. No, that's not good at all. Anyway, we'll continue with the Toronto Argonauts. Running back Chad Cackard, as you know, he re-signed the MVP of the Grey Cup. Back with the club again, and of course, it means that the deal with the Jets didn't happen. And for those of you that haven't been living under a rock or something, the reason he didn't take the deal with the Jets, the one with the Argos was better and more real. And, you know, when that happens, we know which way you go. Now, last year, Cackard, and this is the thing about some of the players that are coming, you know, to training camp. And they're going to arrive with very little fanfare, as did Cackard, and then do some magic stuff. And there are going to be a lot of players that you and I are going to be sitting in the sidelines, in the stands, watching and going, wow, who is that guy? Who is that guy? I guess the big question I have for all of us CFL fans is, who is that big guy? So I'm going to ask, if you're listening to me, Jason, I can't call Avon. If you could get him to call the show, the number is 714-242-5250. I don't know why I'm having trouble with getting a line out. We're supposed to be able to call a guest on the program. This is a technical issue brought on by Blog Talk Radio, and we apologize to you that are waiting to hear Avon talk on the show. As all of you know, it does work because I called Tristan Black the other day, and it actually worked, so I don't see why this isn't working. We will keep trying it until we get it right, and if and when we get it right, hopefully, you know, I'll try something else. You know, this year's CFL season, multitasking. Can you do that? Can you, like, talk at the same time that you work a typewriter and you're trying to figure out exactly what to do? This year, more than any other year, was a big thrill for me. And the reason it was a big thrill is because I got to go to the Grey Cup for the first time in a few years. I did go back when Saskatchewan beat Hamilton here at the Sky Dome. That was as a reporter. And sitting in the press box. Now, the press box is a nice place to watch the game. You know, people get treated really well. There's no doubt that that they get treated really well. The hope is that you get to enjoy the game. Now, it was lovely to sit there in the press box and watch the game, but it almost feels sterilized, a sterile environment, because you're sitting there with other reporters, none of which want to cheer for a team or not, you know, because for obvious reasons, that's not their intention. That's not why they're here. And I really am having a hard time logging into Avon, to calling Avon. So I don't know what to say other than hopefully Avon can call us. Anyway, it's really important that we all understand one very important thing. The best thing about participating and watching a game is when you can share your feelings about the game right then, right there. You know, it's great being on the reporter side, which I've been on. You know, I was on the field for the Blue Jays winning the World Series. Jimmy Key was pitching, and I sat on the bench with Cito Gaston during the World Series. It's awesome to be in the media. But folks, the biggest thrill in sports is being a fan and taking part in the excitement that wraps around you in the stands. In my case, in this Grey Cup that just happened, I had the pleasure of being seated amongst, oh yeah, Calgary fans. And I had my horn. And I was trying to blow my horn, and it kept getting knocked down, and because it said, you know, Argos. And I just loved it. I just thought it was great. Now, to watch your team win the Grey Cup is awesome. It really is. To watch your team win a championship, it really is. And I know my bros, Jarrett and company that follow the Toronto Rock, they've had the pleasure of watching their team win. But when it comes to the CFL, it is not very often that a home team plays in the championship. As you know, this year Saskatchewan is the home team. They're not necessarily, they don't get a free ticket. It's not, this isn't the OHL, the Ontario Major Hockey League, whatever. That isn't what we're talking about here. We're talking about they award the location and then you have to earn the ticket there. Only two teams get to get there and they both have to win to get there. So, having said that, to be sitting in the stadium watching the team that you've cheered for all season, a team that had when the season started had a 1 in 30 shot to win the Grey Cup. I mean, seriously, they must have been at least a 30-1. John is the expert at that kind of stuff. He could clarify it for me. And yet, this team, through adversity, you go to the game and you support your team. They win, they lose, they win, they lose, they win, they lose. And you're sitting there enjoying the game, even when they lose, because you're excited and you want to make an impact and you want to help them win. Then you have the additional satisfaction that you can go to the local establishment where the boys, and by the boys I mean the football players, go to eat. You can shake their hand. You get to know them even better. Now you're not just rooting for these guys in these uniforms. You're rooting for these guys who you've stood there and had pictures taken with, guys who put their arm around you and say, thanks for being a fan. They tell you how much they appreciate you being a fan. This is not an Argo experience. This is a CFL experience. For me, it was an Argo experience because the Argos are my home team. For you out there, it could be BC Lion, Edmonton Eskimo, Calgary Stampeder, Saskatchewan Rough Rider, Winnipeg Blue Bomber, Montreal Alouette, Hamilton Tiger Cat, Ottawa Whatchamacallits, the Newfoundland, whatever their name is, Eyes to Buys to Build the Boat, and whatever. You get what I'm saying? You feeling what I'm telling you? You know, life is a horrible experience sometimes. Come on, seriously. Let's get real here. Sometimes life sucks. Sometimes life's a drag. Sometimes life is something you want to drop kick to the moon. But when you get to that stadium, when you march up those stairs, down those stairs, over those platforms, down to your seats, through security, sit down at your seat, and then it happens. The teams get on the field. The referee blows his whistle. And then, my friends, the greatest moment of all is when the kicker makes contact with the ball. My goodness. My goodness. They do that, and we take over, boys and girls. We start to scream, to rant, to rave, to enjoy the moment of that football floating in midair. Until finally, it's caught. We'll continue this another day. For today, we talk the kickoff. For today, we talk running back. For today, I'm going to try and do something today we haven't done before. I need to desperately talk to Avon Colburn. We're going to try that phone number one more time. Avon, if you're listening, my friend, I truly apologize for the inefficiency of Blog Talk Radio. But here we go again. I'm dialing. Come on, pick it up. Pick it up, buddy. Pick it up. Pick it up. Nope. No such luck. Well, there's another way to do it, and we're going to do it the other way. Are you ready for this? I was almost prepared for this situation, so I decided... Oops. Easy. Not yet. Mm-hmm.
And that. It's ringing. It's ringing.
Hello.
Hey, Avon.
Hello.
I'm doing great. I'm suffering from technical difficulties here with Blog Talk Radio, so I apologize. Hey, you want the phone number here? I'll give you the phone number. Are you okay? You still awake, or you want to go to sleep? Yeah, you know what happened? I've been trying to call you, and I got a bunch of witnesses here. Most of them are listening to the show, listening to me tell them how many times I've tried calling. And it's not your fault. I'm blaming Blog Talk Radio. Something's wrong with the – I'm trying to call out. We're supposed to be able to call. But here's the number. If you got a pen or a paper? You ready? 714-242-5250. Now, I know your number, so when I see it, I'll bring you in. 714-242-5250. Want to try it again? Yeah, we got lots of time. We got another hour left. If you can stay awake, buddy, I'm looking forward to talking to you because, you know, it's not too often that we get a chance to talk to a Grey Cup MVP. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm on the phone with a star. You understand what I'm saying? Why are you laughing? I'm serious. Good for you, my man. Okay, listen, call in so the people can hear you a lot better. That's the only reason why I'm asking you. Thanks, my man. We'll look forward to hearing you. All right. So, now, darn technology. Someone's got to fix the technology. Let's take a short break while he calls, okay? Here we go. We'll take a short... Hey, you know what I want to do? This is, you know what? Time to play the old opening. Dale!
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 Daylight come and we walk.
There he is, the one, the only, Avon Colburn.
What's happening?
There you go, buddy. Now, that's like that deep football voice. I can hear it better than on the speaker. My man, I want to deeply apologize to you for the time it took for me to get you on here, and I want to thank you as well, and I want to thank, of course, Jason for hooking us up. And it really is a pleasure to talk to you, and I know that you're a character guy. You're a guy that has a lot of character, and the proof to me is you were released by Hamilton, and you don't have such a thin skin that you're willing to talk to your fans, even at a time when you're basically looking for, I guess, you're looking for a job, right?
Yeah, in a way, yeah. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's okay, though. You know what I mean? I put in my tweet, like, you know, I speak to fans a lot of my tweets. You got to sorry about my voice. My kids got me sick, but...
That's okay.
When I was speaking to the fans in my tweets... You know, if I was a rookie, I would be like, you know, oh, this is talking bad about me. But you know what? I understand. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it always works out the way it's supposed to. You know what I mean? I just wasn't supposed to be there, and I understand God's plan. And, you know, maybe things have changed. Maybe it's done. Maybe it's not. But, you know, I'm going to continue to work and, you know, be ready for the opportunity when it comes.
Yeah, you don't end up where you've been by accident. So you don't win a Grey Cup MVP by accident. You don't win running back of the year in the CFL by accident.
It all is, it's all something that happens because of hard work. And you had a wonderful year in Montreal. Montreal now is going through some changes, much like everybody else, right? Tressman's gone. They've brought in new guys. You were there in one of Montreal's heydays. Tell us about a season and how it develops. When you go into a season, you don't really know you're going to win a championship. You always hope you will. But what happened in that year in 2009?
You know what? We knew we were going to win that year. Because, I mean, we thought we were going to win the year before. But we knew we were going to win in 2009. It was funny because, in 2008, we all had our, that was like my best year, like training as a pro. Like, it was like I knew, I had two goals that year. One goal was to win Grey Cup MVP and that was the second goal. The first goal was to be the starting running back. That's when they had Jared Pate. So, when that season started, and Mark came on board, he brought this whole era of, NFL and how to run the offense and, get the ball out fast and everybody's getting involved. And it was just phenomenal. And then when we didn't finish,
No worries.
When we didn't finish, how we wanted to in 2008, 2009, it was like there was no way that we weren't going to win. Like, we knew we were going to win that game. I mean, we knew we were going to championship that year. We started off hot, and it just was how we wanted it. I mean, I know it's being cocky, but we knew what we had, what we had set out for. We knew what we should have done the year before, not taking anything away from Calgary. We played a bad Grey Cup game, but every other game up to then was pretty good.
You guys were basically a steamroller. Like you said, Tressman brought in a plan to make use of every asset on the field. You never knew which way the ball was going. You didn't know how far the ball was going. And you had a quarterback like Calvillo who's a quick study and a good learner.
Oh, yeah. That's always good. And Mark always says, when you got a quarterback, your team has hope. And that's the truth. That is truly the truth. Anthony Calvillo is the best quarterback I've ever played with. He is truly a student of the game. He's a pro. He's somebody that I look up to, not just as a man. He taught me a whole lot about myself and a whole lot about this game, how to approach it. And when you got a guy like that leading the team, you can't fail because you either going to get in line. You can't fail. You either going to get in line or, you're going to get moved out. What I mean?
He won't let you fail, will he?
No, because he's that type of a competitor. And, when you got that type of fire around you, they collected a group of players that had that same passion, that same fire that he had. So, when he wasn't saying it, everybody else was because we all felt the same way that he felt. He had, he would pass it down to me or pass it down to Jay Rich or pass it down to one of the old linemen, and we would get it done. We would get it done on the offensive side because, we knew what we had and we knew what we were capable of.
So you knew right away, you guys were training, training camp. You knew at that point that you guys had a really serious shot at winning because of the loss the previous year?
Oh, there's no question about it. No question about it. We wanted to win in 08. We thought we should have won in 08. But Calgary, they were just better than us. They beat us every time we played them. And in 2009, we got that monkey off our back. We beat them, the first game of the season. And, we never thought we were going to lose the game at all. And, from that point on, it was we're just, one game at a time. Well, we know, we had our blinders on. We were just going one game at a time. But at the end of the day, we knew that, we were going to be in the championship again. And from that point on, we just got to execute and win.
Being a professional football player, we grazed over it a little bit. You never really know, the fear. And I don't want to insinuate that you have any fear whatsoever. That's the last thing I'd ever do. From a fan's perspective, we watch you guys and, we think of you almost as objects. and we don't understand that there's actually a person in that uniform. Does it get to you once in a while that we're that insensitive as a group? I mean, you know, like not necessarily individuals, but as a group?
Well, you know what? No, not really in a way. Only when they get specific, like on Twitter, and they start talking crazy, like, you're not a man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like any other time, like, you know, when a commentator is commentating and they say a certain thing about the player, cool. You know what I mean? It comes with the territory. But when they get like personal and, you know, like last year someone said something about Hank's family, like they forget that we're men and that, you know, for one, we're aggressive men. So once you get to that point where you start talking about somebody's family, you know, the people don't understand that, you know, we're men and that we will lose it on you. Like, you know, there's a certain thing you don't cross. Like, and you know, excuse me, some people fail to realize that on Twitter, like, you say certain things and, you know, yeah, we're professionals and we can take criticism, but when it gets, like, too personal, you know, you got to understand there's going to be some type of backlash. Like, we're human. We're human. And you know, that's the only time that I think ever that, you know, once they get personal and start talking about family and I mean, you can tell me I suck all you want. That you know, it comes with the territory. I tell people they suck all the time. So, you know, that's not something that I ever really, you know, I don't care about that. But, you know, once you start, you know, getting personal and, you know, you just get, you know, with the family thing, that then it crosses the line and, you know, what they don't understand is there's a man behind that equipment, and that man, you know, you don't play with, like, anybody, you don't play with their family or, you know, anything like that. So
I hear you.
That's the only part that I think, it gets a little out of line.
Well, our organization, our group, the Argo Lifers, we sit beside your family.
Uh-huh.
And I have fun because a lot of I understand more than anyone, I guess, in the stadium, the fact that you have a family. And I'm sorry, I forget the receiver's name. He had a great game. And his son, who must have been about 2 years old, I took some pictures of him with my horn last year. I truly enjoy and love the fact that you bring your families to the game. And I really do respect the fact. Maybe some people don't, Avon, but I want to tell you that we do. We respect your families that are there at the game, and we do understand that this is a personal experience as well as a business experience. And
yes,
and sir. we hope as fans and Argo Lifers on the whole, what we believe in is that today's enemy could be tomorrow's teammate. You know what I mean? It's the same for you guys,
yes, sir.
Right? You could drive a guy, you're running down, and you're going to hit that guy as hard as you can because you're going to steamroll over him. You're going to hit him so hard, and you're going to put what looks like some hate on the guy. But a couple of weeks later, he ends up traded to your team. So you know more than anybody, you athletes understand more than anybody, how roles can change really on a – they can spin on a dime, can't they?
Man, you know what? That is. I think that's what makes the game so great. The football game. I mean, obviously, we would love to have, you know, our contracts guaranteed. You know, that's one thing that, you know, I think, you know, I think that's what really makes the game so great is that there's really nothing guaranteed about it. You know, so what you're getting out on the field is just raw energy. You know what I mean? Raw, just passion, And I think with that, you know, as far as, you know, making it, I think that's what makes the game so great is because you don't know what's going to happen. So what you do is you go out there, this is what I do. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure my teammates can attest to it. I go out there and play every play like it's my last play because I want to be remembered for that last play. Like, man, Avon went out and went his hardest, you know. And going along with what you're saying, you know, yeah, you have to play the game that way, because I mean, at least I do, because that's all I know is how to play it. I've been doing it since I was 14, and I've been playing it as hard as I can for all those years. Like, and I learned to do that. I was taught, you know, my coaches put that into me. Like, you know, this game is not guaranteed. Like, you know, and it happened to me early in my career, which made it even happen, made it even, you know, more of importance to me to make sure that last play is my best play. Because in high school, I tore my ACL, and I didn't know if I was going to go to college, but then 2 weeks later, I got a call from West Virginia saying, yeah, we want you to come. So, but what you know, what I'm saying is, I think that passion, not knowing what's going to happen, makes the game just extraordinary. I think that's why, you know, the NFL is the number one football game, I mean, the number one sports game in the world. In North America, because soccer is number one in the world. Obviously.
No, you don't have to apologize for that at all.
No, no, no.
We all know. Hey, you know, Avon, I don't think there's a more intense sport than NFL football. Right. I think we all get that, and I don't think anybody disagree with you for a second. The intensity of the game of football is a physical sport, and you know. It is such a chess match. You know, people,
yes.
Help us understand the playbook. And when you look at the playbook, when you look at the playbook and the coach gives you a playbook, we hear about it, you know, not many of us have had one in our hands. How difficult is it to pick up a playbook? Like when you went to Montreal, you worked that playbook, and now you go to Hamilton, and they're relying on you to basically lead them out of the wilderness. And it's
right.
difficult because you have to also understand what they want you to do. It's not just about what you know you can do. It's about
right.
what the people that hire you want you to do. What's the tough part about the playbook?
You know what? I think the hardest part is the term, because everything is the same, to be honest with you. Everything is the same. You know, not every play is the same, but every, you know, you're running pretty much the same plays. You're going to run to the right and run to the left. It's just the terminology of that play. Like, you know, one person will call it 36. The next person will call it good willing. You know, it's the same play, but people will call it the different names. And you're like, you get confused at times because, you know, you start reverting back to, you know, what you learned in another place.
Absolutely.
But that's the toughest part, because it's the same play, but people call it different.
Absolutely.
You know, and obviously, you have to do that, because if everybody calls it the same thing, you know, people would you would just know what everybody's doing.
And that's why a cadence is so important for a quarterback.
You know what? It's funny because I've been in games where we use the same cadence every play, and people still couldn't get it.
Yeah, like, the point is, by do it, it's like when you play that game, you know, with your hands, you keep throwing two out. People expect you to change, right?
Yeah. And then you throw two out again.
Throw two out again, exactly. Let me ask you, back in your youth, you know, there's a lot of good that football does. And unfortunately, I think we and I'll refer to myself as the media as well. We in the media tend to build people up, it seems, sometimes just to bring them down. For example, in football, there's some stuff that's going on that's a little sad in football. But for the most part, football builds a lot of great young men, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm a prime example of it. My wife has been telling me to write a book on my life. My pastor is trying to get me to speak at Youth Sunday, which is this Sunday. But, I mean, I promise you, man, the game of football has saved so many inner-city youths. I mean, most sports, because, you know, obviously we don't have the parenting that obviously the white kids have, or the kids that's in the middle-class areas, because where I'm from, it's all poor. Like, it's you know, drugs and violence and just trying to survive. So, you know, sometimes you get blessed, man. Sometimes God just he weaves you through all of the stuff, because he knows your heart. He knows you have something greater in your heart that you want. you know, and he weaves you through all the danger, you know. I mean, I had a youth where, you know, most people, I mean, I'm not saying mine was the worst, because I've heard a story that, you know, I had a friend of mine that lost both of his parents in his youth. But, you know, I had both of my parents, but, you know, they both were on drugs. So I had them physically, but not, you know, not there, you know, to be that encouragement that you need growing up. But, you know, God found a way to get me through all of the turmoil to have me talking to you today, having two championships, being an all-time leading rusher in West Virginia history. You know, I've been truly blessed, and this game has definitely been an inspiration to me, to help me, you know, motivate other people, and also to get myself out of situations that, you know, that I would have been in if not for, you know, my Lord and Savior in this game.
The game of football is very important. You grew up in New Jersey, right?
Yes, sir.
Where in New Jersey did you grow up?
Camden, New Jersey.
Wow. Boy, it doesn't exactly have a reputation for being a university graduate capital of the world, huh?
Not many, man. We got a couple. We got a couple guys that, you know, every year. We got good athletes. You know, we got good athletes to come out of there. But as you say, man, it's not known for that. You know, at one point we were the number one murder capital in America. You know what I mean?
But, you know what you're expressing here is something that the president of the United States is trying to educate the American people, and it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard because most Americans, and I'm going to speak now as a Canadian that sees what happens in the U.S. Most Americans can only see things in their own little fishbowl. They really can't see outside their own little world, right? And it makes it hard for a guy like the president who comes along, you know, I'll say this, and this is, I'm going to tip my political hand. I think he's the first president since John F. Kennedy that actually felt there was a social responsibility that the federal government has in ensuring that everybody has an equal opportunity to be successful.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And it's been pretty tough. And I guess what I'm trying to say, without getting political, is that maybe some of us don't understand football players and who they are, because we don't know what it's like where they are, you know.
Right.
But what I will say is this. You've given us an opportunity tonight to hear that part of the equation where you're clearly stating, and I think – my fellow Canadians, if you will, that are listening to the show, and the Americans that are listening to the show, whoever they happen to be, I hope will understand that the sports world isn't all about taking drugs, isn't all about having guns, isn't all about crime, isn't all about abuse of women. There are the vast majority of people that get involved in sports are better for it rather than worse. And
hey,
I think sometimes we forget that, Avon, that sports has a lot to offer to people other than the $1 million contracts or the multi-$1 million contracts. I just wanted to say that in support of what you've been saying.
No, that's all. I mean, everybody wants a multi-$1 million contract. But
everybody.
Not many people get that. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Not many people, you know, there's probably, you know, a handful of people in the NFL with multi-$1 million contracts. Even though it seems like everybody makes $1 million. Not many people in the NFL make $1 million. But they make a lot more than Canadian football players. I tell you.
Absolutely. But you know what, Avon? This has been going on since the 50s, man. All the football players that play in Canada, if you've been told normally Canadian Football League players don't make that much money, they're not lying to you. Because as long as I can remember, and I'm bumping up against 60, so, you know, my recollection is very clear. Football players earn money in Canada other than playing football if they want to eat. But if they love the game, than they play Canadian football. And some of them, like a Ricky Ray, make a good dollar. But very few, I'm afraid, make a lot of money. And you know what? I can say this to you with you on the phone right now. And John Granger, who's my partner in this adventure, this program is put together by the Argo Lifers. They support me and make this possible. I now have somebody in Edmonton, and his name is Jason Sperling, the guy that brought you on board with Rouge Radio, who feels the same way as we do. And that is that the Canadian Football League is not only a worthwhile game, it has worthwhile people in it. And we're here to support you. And those supporters right now are dying to ask you some questions. Would you mind if I brought a couple in?
Yeah, sure. Bring them in.
Okay. Listen, it's really great that you were patient enough not to go to bed when I called you. And let's start with John Granger since he's been – no, you know what? John doesn't want to be first. Let's go with Jamie. Jamie's been on the longest. Let's go with Jamie the Argo. Jamie, buddy, talk to me. Tell me what you're thinking. Are you there?
Hey,
are
Frank. Hey.
Buddy.
Hey, Frank. How's it going?
This is Jamie. He is one of the Argo Admirals, Avon. He helps promote the Argos at the stadium and on Twitter, like you were referring to. This guy could be one of your tweet friends.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Yourself?
Blessed, man. I'm blessed. How are you?
Excellent.
So what's your question, man? What's your question?
Well, first off, you've had a 10-plus-year career in professional football. You've been cut by Hamilton. What are your options now? Are you looking? Are you looking to still play? Are you looking to, you know, do something else? Or
you know what, man? I'm looking to do whatever. I'm not sold on I'm finished right now because of the year I ended off with last year. But also, I'm not pressed. You know what I mean? I'm not pressed. I'm okay. You know, I'm in a good place in my life. I mean, my faith is heavy. And, you know, I love the game. I love the game. But, you know, I was just telling somebody this. The game loves nobody. And, you know, with that said, you know, I that's why I play like I play. Because, you know, when you have love for the game, you know, that's all that really matters, because nobody else in the game loves you when you're gone except, you know, what you put on film. So, you know, like I said, man, it, you know, as far as playing again, you know, I would love to. You know, am I pressed? If anybody calls me, well, am I going to, you know, kill myself? No, I'm not going to be depressed. I'm moving on in my life. I have options. You know what I mean? I'm actually, you know, promoting the 90-day challenge, which is, you know, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter or
Facebook.
You know, my body is I'm in the best shape that I think I've been in a long time. So, you know, I have options. I definitely have options.
You're not alone, Avon, in the Vi program. A lot of the BC players did it before they won the Grey Cup. The Argos did it this year. And I'm assuming that you probably even knew about it when you were with the Hamilton. When you were with Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, not when I was in Montreal, I didn't hear about it. I heard about it my first year at Hamilton, and I didn't join it because I was affiliated with something else, and you know, I just didn't feel like that was my calling. But you know, with this 90-day challenge, you know, I've totally transformed my body. I've helped, you know, a countless number of people transform their bodies. And, you know, it's just been phenomenal. It's just been phenomenal. I mean, I wish you could hear it in my voice, but my voice is going crazy because of the fact that the baby's got me sick. But I'm super excited about it, about what it's done for me. So with that, you know, all I do is just tell people, you know, what it's done for me. And, you know, yes, I'm a professional football player, and yes, I've done things that most people have never done. But at the end of the day, I have to go to the gym and work out with you and walk my challenge the same way you do. You know, and pardon me. You know, with that, it just makes it a human you know, program instead of just a sports program. There's, you know, there's plenty of people on it. Over 1.5 million people on it right now.
Absolutely. And now we brought in another caller, and I believe he's a Toronto Rock fan. No, no, he's not. Kevin. Kevin, is that you on the phone? Kevin? Okay, well, Kevin will come on here once he gets his coffee or whatever it is that he's getting. Now, the Vi Challenge is something that is very popular, as I said. What it's all about is replacing your intake with something that is more friendly to diet and muscle build. Is that how that stuff works?
Yes and no. What you're doing is replacing a meal with a shake, but with a shake that has, you know, it's a 90-calorie shake that you're replacing. You know, you're getting everything you need in a meal in 90 calories. And if you add milk, it goes up probably to, like, you know, 120 calories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but you're getting everything, all the, you know, 23 vitamins and minerals. You know, you're getting Aminogen, which is, you know, actually in, is something that, you know, the Vi family put into the shake to, you know, make, to take the protein directly to the muscles to build lean muscle and cut fat at the same time. You know, it's definitely based around replacing two meals a day. And, you know, I've done the two meals, but then, you know, sometimes I cheat because, you know, I get hungry. So I'll definitely replace my breakfast because I don't like cooking. So, you know, my wife, if she's not up cooking, I'm definitely going to have a shake for breakfast. And then, you know, for lunch, you know, I would have a shake and then I would eat again because I'd be hungry when I come from the gym. So
give us your Twitter name for the people that don't know where you are on Twitter so they know
exactly
who you are.
Yeah, on Twitter is at Avon Coburn, you know, AvonCoburne, you know, and I'm Twitter friendly, you know. I speak to everybody, you know. I mean, even if you got something negative to say, I'm probably gonna talk to you first, just because I like the banter. I like the health. It's healthy for me. It keeps me on my toes.
You know, not to get all religious all over you, but at the end of the day, we're all a sum of all our parts, and sometimes hearing is the hardest thing that a person can do.
Uh-huh.
And when you hear what people think, it helps you to understand what you need them to understand about you.
Exactly.
The world is full of misunderstanding, and it's always nice to communicate. That kind of helps. And I really appreciate the fact that you know, your beliefs are very strong. I admire your commitment to your beliefs. You know, as a fan and as a person who has beliefs, we normally don't talk about this kind of stuff in sports because, you know, sports is so I don't even know how to explain it. So competitive, I guess. You know,
right.
You know. The one thing that you teach us, and when I say you, I mean athletes, especially football players, they do it more than any other athletes in sport, where they literally congregate, and in some cases, the players from both teams congregate at center field to pray before a game. And I find that lovely, and I find that wonderful, and I find that very humane. And I wanted to thank you for that because you happen to be the fellow that I'm talking to. I find that very heartwarming to see that. Football players are some of the toughest athletes in the world. But I think at the same time, they're the most sympathetic to their fellow athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been a time when – can you explain to us a time when you felt like you wanted to reach out to a player on the other team and you were held back, you had to hold yourself back because, you know, it's game time? I know it's hard when another athlete gets hurt, and football players literally kneel and pray for that player's health, you know, and the leader of that is probably the guy who hit him. Where does that come from? You know, it's not something that I'm accustomed to seeing in sports. Where does that come from? Is it your upbringing?
You know what? it's more because it's the game, you know. It's part of the game, but you know, you don't literally go out there to injure somebody, but you do want to inflict pain on them, you know, because that's what the game is about. You know, because at the end of the day, this person is doing this for their family. They're trying to better their families. They're trying to feed their families. So you don't want anybody to get actually hurt, you know, during the process. But you do want them, you know, if you can take that person out the game, you know, and have them, and you know, have them out the game because of a good hit, a good clean hit, yes, you know, but you don't want them to be, you know, injured. But you do like, you know, when I was playing in Montreal, anywhere I was playing, my main priority when I played was to protect the quarterback. You know, if we can keep him upright, we got a chance to win. You know what I mean? And I know everybody on the other team is trying to get him out the game, because if he gets out the game, it's a psychological thing. You know what I mean? As far as, I know I'm getting a little bit off the subject that you asked, but
no, not
you know,
really.
It's a psychological thing for people to, when they lose a main guy, everything changes because, you know, regardless of next man up, that philosophy, when you lose your main guy, that quarterback guy, everything changes because your whole game plan is based around his footwork, his thinking, his, you know, timing. Everything is based around him. So, yes, you do what you do. Hello?
No, no, it's okay. I don't know why Jamie's playing music.
I guess he's trying to tell me to wrap it up.
No. That was just, I was turning on the microphone, turning Jamie's microphone on, and he's playing music, silly bugger. No, you were getting off topic. And I think to stay on topic and to bring it, you know, to bring that point home, is that at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is to basically, it's a game of wills. And your will up against their will for the benefit of your career. And you're not looking to hurt anybody, but you want to make a guy think twice about running in that hole, right? That's all the point is. You want a guy to think twice. You know, you want a guy to look behind him and he's not looking ahead. You know, you want to change somebody's thinking so that they become susceptible to not playing well because they'll be tackled.
So what you want to do is make them think. Because football is a game of reaction. So once they start thinking about anything, they already lost. So yes, you want to be able to do that. The will is definitely the biggest part of football.
Avon, I want you to meet a guy that's my partner in this program, the Argo Lifer leader, the guy that probably cheers the loudest against you. His name's John. John, are you there, buddy?
Avon, much respect, my friend. Listen, I'm gonna say something right off the bat that maybe you can't say, but the Tie Cats are nuts. Let me just say something about yourself. You scared me. You scared me as a running back because you're one of those guys that's hardcore. You're not just trying to get the extra yard. You're trying to hurt the guy who's trying to bring you down. And when we played against you, Avon, I kid you not, I didn't like you because you hurt us, okay? So the fact that these guys cut you, bring you back, and you get, you know, you get less touches with more numbers, percentage-wise, as far as yards go, and they're doing this again. I don't get it. You know, I know they got some other guys that they're looking at, but I know you can't say this stuff. And let me tell you something, Avon. Tonight, hearing you speak, you know, I had a lot of respect for you back since 2006 when you first started, okay? I've been watching you, but I got even more respect tonight hearing your story, bro. Really, really good stuff that you came on to hear something like this, because we just don't get to hear this from guys like you. And, you know, I've known a few CFL players, and I don't know if you know Corey Boyd that well, but you two guys sound like you had a similar upbringing. And do you meet a lot of guys that you've grown up with that you kind of come from the same roots, more or less?
Well, I mean, it's funny because a lot of people, a lot of inner-city guys have the same story. You know what I mean? Just maybe slightly different. You know what I mean? It's pretty much the same because most people, you know, you're trying to find your way out. You want something better for yourself. You want something better. So that's where you find the guys like myself, the guys like Corey Boyd, the guys like, you know, who's ever been in that struggle that we're in, you know, trying to get out the hood, but, you know, knowing that you can't you know, overstep or over. You can't take lightly, you know what I mean, your compassion, you know, to get out of the hood, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, with that,
this is the kind of character I'm talking about that is a plus for a team having a guy like you, because you know, and you kind of don't take advantage of what you're given right now. And it sounds like you're a man of faith, just the way that you speak and the way you present yourself. So, again, that's another negative on the Tie Cats to me. I mean, I still don't get that. You know, you're a plus player to have on a team. The fact that you came through this kind of a channel, the upbringing, the hardcore kind of way, is something that is needed in a locker room. You know what I'm saying? So, I wish I would have heard you talking on the radio earlier, man. I would have been pushing for the Argos to even have a harder look at for you. But, again, man, I really, really liked, like Frank said, I hated you in a good way. You don't hate the opposition if they don't hurt you. You feel me?
Right. Most respect, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, man. With the Tie Cats, you know, with that, you know, they do what they got to do what's best for them. You know what I'm saying? And what they feel is best for them is not always what's best for, you know, the fan base or even for the player. But at the end of the day, I always revert back to, you know, God has a plan. Maybe it was my time to get out of there. Maybe I would have gotten to a fight with the coach because of the fact that he would have tried me in a way that would have belittled me as a man in front of my whatever. You know what I mean? You never know what happened. God took me out of that situation for a reason. And if he wants me back, I'll be back. You know, but obviously, you know, last year, I'm gonna be frank with you. I wasn't in shape last year. So that's why I didn't play early, because I wasn't in shape. I thought I was done, you know what I mean? So I got a job. I had to work. So from that point on.
Avon, I'm going to simplify it. And I know, again, this is something you can't say. You didn't throw those interceptions that cost the game, I think, on three times during the, you know, were big losses, okay? So that's the bottom line here. Of course, and again, to that Twitter world that you're getting a negative energy, that negative energy only comes from people envious, okay? That's right. The way you should look at it. Don't look at it as a downer when they start talking trash and all that kind of crap. Look at it as a positive. The fact that they're talking is a good thing.
Right.
Thanks, John.
Right.
Avon, you know, the important thing that I want to state at this point before John before I turn John's mic off, because it has nasty feedback, the thing I want to say to you is that you always have a home in the Argo Lifers section, even though you never played for the Argos. Anytime you're in town, I'll tell you right now, I'm making an invitation that John will make himself. He's the guy that does it. I'm just doing it for him right now, that anytime you're in town and you want to see a CFL game, if you're just visiting or whatever, you come and sit with us, my friend. That's a promise I can make you. It's an open invitation. John, am I overspeaking?
No, you're not. But you know what? I'm not going to have to worry about inviting him. He's going to be on the team, and we're going to be yelling at him.
No, but I was thinking about inviting him after the game, after he's player of the game and his team loses, unless he's playing for the Argos. We'll invite him to sit down with us. And we'll invite him to sit down. We have one policy, Avon. We have one policy. We support every CFL player in the league, but the ones wearing blue and white, double blue and white, those are the ones we want to win. So don't hate us because of that, my friend.
Hey, no problem. You know what, man? I understand it. I've been. You know, we've had. You know, Montreal. They got some hardcore just fans that love the Alouettes and hate everybody else. And I'm like, I don't understand why. Is it the Quebec thing? But it's not. It's just the love of their team. And the Tie Cats, those guys are crazy. They're crazy.
Well, it's no different in Minnesota as far as Green Bay is concerned.
Right, exactly.
Minnesota, if you're a Minnesota fan, you hate Green Bay. All right, hey, listen, Kevin, you're up, buddy.
Hey, Avon, it's Kevin here.
How you doing, Kevin?
Can you hear me, Avon?
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy, how's it going? Knowing that you're from Camden, you know, I've been down there on the rail yards many of times. They have the best Philly cheesesteaks down there. Fans want to know that, were you a fan of Philadelphia across the bridge, or were you a fan of the other two Jersey teams up where they call themselves New York?
You know what? I actually, my first football game was ever, was a Super Bowl when Doug Williams played John Elway. And
wow.
Doug Williams won. That was the first time I ever watched football. So the Redskins was actually my team, you know, growing up. Like, it was funny because they're in the NFC East, and the Redskins always play the Eagles, and everybody in my family was Eagles fans. So Eagles fans are Cowboy fans. So, you know, it was always that rivalry there. But then, you know, when I went to the NFL and I played for the Lions, that became my first team, and then, you know, the Redskins are my second team now.
What year did you play for
the
Lions?
Who would have thought that, Frank? Growing up in Canton and loving Washington growing up.
Not a surprise to me. Not a surprise to me. Washington in that whole eastern coast was the dominant team for a while. You know, the Giants weren't the Giants back then. Would that be fair to say there, Avon?
You know what? They weren't. Like, you know, it was the Redskins. Like,
absolutely.
But, I mean, I never watched football until that Super Bowl. And then after that Super Bowl, I became a football fan. Like, I always played it, but I didn't know, like, the players or anything. Like, I always played it growing up, but I never knew, you know, anything about football, like, besides just going outside playing it. But,
Avon,
you know, yeah.
Avon, I just learned something. You're as bad as the fans. You only love a winner.
You know what? And that's how it has to be sometimes. Because nobody, who wants to associate with a loser? You know what I mean?
We do. And we live in Toronto.
You guys won the ship last year, man. You guys got did a great job for you guys last year.
No. I'm not talking football now. Ouch.
Oh, you're talking hockey now.
John just, yeah. Everything else. Well, apparently this year the Leafs are like headed for the playoffs. The Blue Jays are going to have a monumental team, apparently. And, of course, we know the Argos won the Grey Cup last year. And the Toronto Rock, which is a lacrosse team, they've been outstanding for years. The only other team that's had difficulty, and they're cleaning up their act, and that's the Toronto Raptors. But, yeah, you're right. Toronto doesn't have a deep history in winning recently. But more importantly, that's what sports is about. It's not a surprise. Why should anyone like a loser? Where does it say you have to like a loser?
Yeah, there's no question about it, man. I was blessed to, you know, come up here and get on the team with, you know, with guys with that mentality that was similar to mine. Like, we're going to win. And when you think it, and then the people around you start to believe it. And, you know, I've been blessed to encourage guys to think in a championship manner. And Scott took that and went to Toronto and just dominated. He was awesome this year.
Yeah, he did a great job. And we here personally on this program feel the exact same way you're talking about, is that John Granger, and now joining us lately, Jason has joined us. And it's all about who you're with. Like, you know, I couldn't do this program without John Granger. And I won't be able to bring it to another level without Jason. And I mean Jason Sperling. And even the people that call in all the time, like Kevin Kingsley, like Jamie the Argo, otherwise known as Wolodarski. You know, we have a team here too, my friend. And what we do here is we're trying to promote the Canadian Football League. And you've been an outstanding person to have on the air. And, you know, to know that you're that deep a person to be able to say yes to coming on the air after you've been cut. We talked about this, and you know I wasn't 100% sure whether it was a good idea to have you on, because you got cut last year. You came back. You proved you ran over 700 yards on a team that didn't want you in the first place. Then you get cut again, and now you're on the air with us. And when you come back, this is a promise I make to you, you have 100% support from all the callers that are on this telephone right now, because you are a genuine person, a wonderful human being, God-fearing. You've expressed that on more than one occasion. And I'm sure this Sunday, when you preach to the young boys that are maybe on the edge of ending up somewhere not good, you know, and that's the tough part, is getting to them at the right time. There is a time when it's too late. I'm sure you know that better than anybody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm still trying to come up with the sermon. My pastor, she's on me. She's like, you know, I really want you to do this. God has told me that you are the one to speak, you know. And this will be my, I mean, the crazy thing is I can tell my story, but, you know, I just don't feel like I know enough scripture to do a sermon. You know what I mean?
Don't,
I don't know the
don't
verses.
Need the scripture. My friend, all you have to do is tell them what your life experience is. Tell them about what you walked out on the first time you found yourself with the freedom to walk out into the world. And by that I mean out onto the streets of Camden. What you experienced that time, what you overcame, what you ignored, what you were fortunate enough because for whatever reason you were blessed to not pay attention or walk in the direction that could have been your undoing. That's all you have to tell them. You know, you're a wonderful man, and as another man who's not afraid to say I respect a man, I have to tell you, I'm very proud of you, and I'm really glad to have gotten to know you a little bit. And all you have to tell them is what you lived. You don't have to tell them any stories like some people like to do. You can tell them what is, not what might have been. You can tell them what is.
I appreciate that, man.
No, really, like, you know, I have a friend here on Facebook, a buddy of mine, just to tell you a little bit about myself, and I have a guy, Spider Jones, a good friend of mine, 20 some odd years ago. He's the reason, and you'll really like this, and you'll be jealous of me right now. Are you ready, Avon, to be jealous of Frank? Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead, give me some.
It's coming. Pay attention now. It's coming. Spider Jones is the reason why I met Muhammad Ali.
Oh, wow.
Now,
that's awesome.
I met... Absolutely. I met...
I am... I mean, even though it's a female trait, yes, I am a bit jealous, yes.
I know.
Congratulations.
Everyone should.
One of the greatest.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The greatest athlete of my generation, Muhammad Ali. Uh-oh. Just to tell you, he disappeared off the face of the earth. And a few years after he disappeared, people were saying, what happened? What happened? Is it because he couldn't handle the losing of the fights? He's lost his mind? Because he ended up with Parkinson's. But Muhammad Ali, the great man that he was and is, and the great man that he will be, he came to visit. You don't know this, or you may not know this, is that we had a boxer here. His name is George Chavallo. Another friend of mine in passing, whom I had on previous shows that I've done in the past on television, George Chavallo had a party. They had a festive situation where they were celebrating his fight in 1964 or 5 or 3 against Muhammad. He survived a barrage of punches by, at that time, his name was Cassius Clay. So because of that, Spider Jones had an opportunity to introduce me to. I went to Muhammad Ali's hotel room, and I was lucky enough to shake hands with Muhammad Ali. And at that time, nobody knew what was wrong with him. I'm telling you, Avon, it was the weirdest, it was the most surreal experience I've ever had in my life. I'm the greatest man, the greatest athlete of all time, Olympic gold medalist, world champion, boxing, unification, separate, everything. He did it all. He came back older and did it. What a great man he was. I shook his hand. And I saw the humanity in his soul through his eyes. And this is a man who was devastated, or you can look at it as challenged by the guy upstairs who gave him a disease or a problem, a mental problem, that he overcame and didn't let him bring him down. My friend, there's lots we can tell the children of today. But the biggest thing that we can tell the children of today is not to give up and to keep your head up, work hard, and believe that no matter how many people are in your way, you can work it out. And their response.
Preach. Preacher right now.
And the responsibility that we have as people, is to give them a hand up. And anytime someone asks you for a hand and you turn it down, shame on you. So I think your preacher, what he's done, and what I've said in a long roundabout way, my friend, is that he has given you an opportunity to help even just one soul, you will be the better for it. You don't have to cure everybody, but if you can help just one, Avon, you're a hero to me.
Amen. I appreciate that.
And believe it when I tell you this, because this world sucks. It really does. There's so much out there that makes the world such a horrible place. It's us and those of us that want to make it a better place, like John Granger and myself and you, that can help make it a better place.
You know what, man? That's my passion, man. That's, you know.
And I know,
you know.
You always have a friend here. Anytime, and when I said that you could come and sit with us, and if you like beer, you can even drink beer. I'll even buy you your first beer. And you know what? The people that you know, you can help change. The people that I know, I can help change. So
right.
Together, my friend, we can make a change. And that's all the president's trying to say. And the people who don't want to hear it, they don't hear it. All they hear is where he was born, when he was born. You know, is he black? Is he white? Which is he? That's all they hear. They don't hear the part that he's a man on a mission.
Right. And
boy,
he has a good heart, man. That's the thing. Most people don't understand his heart. Like people can't see past the hatred they have, you know, because of who he is, and look into his heart and see the man and what he's trying to do. I don't agree with everything he does, but I do agree his heart is in the right place. So with that, I think, you know, we will find a ground in America. A common ground for, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats to succeed, because of they're going to see his heart and understand that he doesn't really care who wins as long as the American people, you know, win in the end.
I think the biggest...
Avon, sorry, it's John here. Listen, Avon, you got to get out there and talk more, because we can all hear where your heart is tonight. And it's in a real good place, my friend. And you really do got to get out there and talk more. You got to come back on the show again, and we got to hear a little bit more about your life. So, Avon, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight and taking all our questions and being such a good sport about everything. We got to have you back on, and I personally wish you all the best and hooking up to a team and hopefully cheering against you somewhere, or God willing, you know, you never know, we're cheering for you here. So wherever it might be. Avon, thank you so much, my friend, and all the best to you, all right?
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I mean, even though you guys were like 30 minutes late, y'all big time.
Oh!
You guys big time me tonight. You're like that rock star princess that comes in, you know, 30 minutes after she's supposed to. But you know what, man? It was a blessing, man. I thank you again.
After all that nice talk I gave you.
You know, I got to give you something.
Oh, that hurt. Oh, that hurt. Right there it hurt. You know, it hurt so much I had to hang up on John. Hey, listen, Avon, all kidding aside, it really was a pleasure. And at the end of the day, our group, just like many of the other CFL fans out there, this isn't something peculiar to the Argonaut fans. This goes to the Hamilton fans, Montreal fans. We love the game of football. We love the game of the Canadian Football League. And we love the players that are playing for our teams today. And we admire the ones that played for us yesterday. Grey Cup champion, Grey Cup MVP, most valuable player. I don't think we have to say any more than that to suggest that we were on the phone with a great running back here in the Canadian Football League. I really appreciate your time.
No doubt, man. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you guys. And you guys, you know, you keep doing it. Keep, you know, keep repping for the CFL. And, you know, this this game is awesome, man, and it provides for, you know, players that, like you said, truly love the game, because when you come up here, the CFL stands for come for less. And you love the game. That's why you come.
Never heard that. I'm going to have to use that one.
Yeah.
For life. Okay. Listen, thank you, sir. And as John said, we look forward to talking to you again. I have your phone number. I hope you don't mind if I keep it.
No, go ahead and keep it, man. It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me, man, again. I appreciate it.
Hey, you know what you do? You ever tried warmed orange juice?
No.
Try hot orange juice. I'm serious. Try some
hot orange juice.
Yeah, man. Try some hot orange juice, drink it up, and you watch how you'll sleep tonight.
Oh, I'm about to go do that now.
Give it a shot. See what happens. You tell me later. You call me and you let me know. I'll have to Facebook friend you. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'll have to Facebook friend you. And all you folks out there listening, Facebook my friend, my new friend, my brand new
friend,
Avon Colburn. He's a Vi guy for life, just like our friend Tristan Black. And you know what? All the best to all of you out there. We hope we didn't bore you with our Christian-like attitude.
if we did, oh well.
Ashamed of it.
We don't apologize for that.
Absolutely not. Thank you, my friend. It really was a pleasure.
All right. You have a blessed one, man.
You
and
too.
All right, thank you guys for having me again. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So that concludes our show. We ran over a little bit. But you know what? That's the beautiful thing about being on Blog Talk Radio. You can run as long as you like. As long as something good is happening, you can keep it alive. Well, we kept it alive tonight. Our friend, our new friend, of course, whose name is Jason Sperling, Rouge Radio, has offered to retransmit our program along his network. And for that, we are extremely grateful. I am, as usual, grateful to Jamie Wolodarski, Argo Admiral, who supports us as best as he can. This guy has a young family, and yet he finds the time to come on to the show, and he finds a way to forgive me for misspelling his name. And that was never on purpose. It was just my hurried approach to typing something up. John Granger, who is my eternal supporter, the man who has helped me to help myself in, there's no other way to say it than to basically do this as a matter of therapy because of some problems that I have that some people have in this world. I suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, and this show is part of a therapy thing for me. For those of you that take the time to call and say hello, thank you so much for calling and doing that. For those of you that don't call in but do later message me to tell me how wonderful the show was and how much they enjoyed it, thank you to you. And to the rest of you, we hope you've enjoyed Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio, streamed through Rouge Radio and our friends in Edmonton. Thank you for tuning in. You guys are wonderful, and I hope to hear from you again on Friday when we will do almost the same thing we did tonight, except we're even going to have less control over what's happening. That's right. Friday's free-for-all night. Friday free-for-all. Hope to hear from you then from 10 to 11:30 plus. That's right. 10 to 11:30 plus. See you then.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.
Yeah.